Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day, getting ready for a great Thanksgiving, amazing holiday. Music's like, we only have four people. We're not going to eat that. I have three kids. Like, they don't eat that much either. We still going to cook it up. We going to cook it up. Going to do some homemade macaroni and cheese tomorrow. I'm pretty excited about that. I got to point out. Really excited. We do a little dressing, family recipe for dressing. Dressing and stuffing, the only difference is one is actually stuffed inside the bird. The other one is outside. That's the dressing. Inside the bird is stuffing, right? And then I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to smoke a turkey, right? Because I have a smoker. I have the patience. It's not that big a bird. I can do it. The question is, do I want to do it? Like a roasted turkey baked in the oven. Pretty delicious. Pretty iconic. Fried turkey is amazing. Smoked turkey, anybody's had a smoked turkey leg at a sporting event, spectacular. But do I want to have that sort of patience? And, you know, damn, I'm guest hosting the Dan Patrick Show tomorrow at 6 a.m. So do I fire that sucker up when I wake up at like 4:30 and then get it heated up? And then when they wake, you know, when everybody wakes up, they put it on the smoker, put it at like 225 and then just cook it all day. That's the... What do you think, Ramos? Too much? No, Ramos not here. That's right. Ryan's here. Ryan, too much?
You can never have too much. And by the way, fried turkey is delicious.
Fried turkey is delicious.
Yes,
it's delicious. But I'm not gonna. My arteries are too important to me to do that. Even in peanut oil, which you know everybody's like, well, it's good for you. Like, nah, it's fried. It's not good.
It's
for
just
you.
One day. Relax. Have fun.
I will. I can have plenty of fun. The peanut oil gives me the heebie. Plus, I don't have a deep fryer. I'd have to buy a deep fryer. I'm not doing all that. It's smoked or roasted, baked in the oven. That's really the two choices there. I'm thinking I'm going with smoked. I really am. Bruce Arians is a guy who has always tried to call it like he sees it, right? This is why he almost got a job at Fox when he got done, when he retired or got fired from the Cardinals. It's probably why what's caused him from getting head coaching jobs early in his career. Bruce Arians on Bucks Total Access with Bruce Arians, which is like his coach's show, mentioned that he thought the Bucks offensive line played well against the Rams. Quote, offensively, it's just a matter of each and every week if the quarterback plays well or not, and our job is to make sure he's comfortable and let him play. So if they lose and the quarterback doesn't play well, then the quarterback didn't play well. It's not our plays. It's not the offensive line. It's all on him, and that him is Tom Brady. NFL insider Dan Graziano, who of course covered the Buccaneers, like that was originally his beat, was the NFC South. The rumors about tension between Arians and Brady are real because Brady's probably like, dude, I've had enough. This is not who I am. This is, you know, I'm not playing well right now. We're not, I'm not super comfortable. That's all, by the way, not exactly who I am. You know, he's been the master of the underneath game for a decade, finding guys on option routes on third down. I told you about this a long time ago that I didn't think it was a match stylistically, not a match. Not a match at all. But, you know, people want to shout you down and say, well, they'll figure it out. Hall of Fame quarterback, great football minds, they'll figure it out. You know what they haven't done? They haven't figured it out. Now, in fairness, at times it hasn't mattered during Brady's career. When you can get after him with four and not have to blitz somebody, as the Giants did when they had the NASCAR pass rush in the Super Bowl, that's given him problems. And that's exactly what the Rams are able to do. Part of it is Aaron Donald. Part of it is everybody. You know, they're able to put, you know, a very good physical cover corner on the other team's best wide receiver and then fill in the gaps. But this is... like, what are you doing if you're Bruce Arians? The guys are clearly not comfortable, clearly not happy. I mean, if they're having issues, it makes sense. Why else would he not shake hands? He's ticked. And how does what happens when you're ticked off, when you're frustrated, when you don't feel like yourself? You don't act like yourself. Whether Brady is real or fake with how gracious he is, normally he's exceptionally gracious. And he wasn't gracious on Monday night. He wasn't gracious when they played Nick Foles. He just, I think he's mad. I think he's like, you're just not comfortable. I remember when I've done television, you know, for 20 years. And when you start working in studio, there's a monitor on your, basically on your desk, right? Now those things are flatter, so it's pressed right up against it. But, you know, for the entirety of everything I've done, there's like a, I don't know, probably a 16-inch deep monitor almost between your legs, like at an angle, so you can see all the highlights that you're talking about. That's how you see the highlights. There's other monitors in the studio, but that one right there. And then, of course, there's usually a 6 or a 9 pack of other monitors so you can watch all the other games going on. When I was at ESPN, you'd go, any desk you sat at had a monitor, had one monitor. And you had no control over it, although you could ask them to change the channel. So I'd done that for 9 years. I go to work for CBS, and when you come to studio, it's not like they give you a tour or they do a dry run. You just go do studio. And now all of a sudden there's a monitor, and maybe there's a game on, or maybe there's some other TV show that they're taping inside the CBS Broadcast Center. And you have to ask for some code, and you type in the code, and then your monitor number, and then it pops up. And then if you want to change the channel, you got to type in another code. And then right before the half starts, you're supposed to ask for another code to kind of cue up your monitor. So again, you're watching during the first half. Like I'm watching Oklahoma State versus UT Arlington. We're getting ready to go to the half. And first, you rehearse the halftime. Now, I had done television for 9 years. I had done halftimes of college basketball for 7 years. Never in my life had we rehearsed what we were going to say live, ever. It's just you do it. And if you screw it up, the expression was, it's off the Pluto. Nobody's going to see it anymore anyway, right? So first, you rehearse what you're going to say, and you rehearse what you're going to say out of highlights. Now, keep in mind, those highlights are cut with like, you know, 6 minutes, 8 minutes to go in the half. And the games change dramatically. And you're supposed to try and be watching the game that you're broadcasting, but you can't because you're doing a rehearsal. Am I making sense with my? Okay. So like, say I'm watching this basketball game and I'm supposed to have a 15 to 30 second comment on that game. But instead of watching the end of the first half, I'm doing a rehearsal on other highlights. Now, the logic behind it is sound. The logic is like, look, we want to make it look seamless and perfect. The problem with it is that when you're the analyst, you actually need to see the game take place so you can say something interesting that didn't happen 10 minutes ago. So now all of a sudden you go to the actual half and the halftime show and everything is far more condensed. No one tells you to sync up your monitor to the right channel. You just got to kind of naturally do it on your own. No one's told you how to do it. And when you're trying to say something smart about the game, you're like, I actually haven't seen the game in the last 10 minutes because I've been rehearsing some other highlights. If you'd done it before, by CBS's standards, it's really, really easy. You're much cleaner and crisper with the things you're saying because you've gone over that. You knew what highlights you were going to see. You watched them previously. But as a guy that's been more organic, that wasn't the way I'd always done it. Then you fast forward to working with Turner in the same year, and Turner with Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith, they don't ever rehearse, ever. Sometimes they don't watch the game either. And whereas when you're working with the CBS guys, you got like a 15-second limit on how long you can talk. There's no limits when you talk with Turner. Just talk. The point is that when you perform the same job under completely different rules and completely different styles, it can be frustrating. It can make you seem worse than you actually are. Because you don't know when you're supposed to say what and how long you're supposed to say it for. That's the same in any job you have. And that's what Brady is going through. Add on top of that, Arians pointing out that he's not playing well and saying essentially everybody else is playing well. How do you think that goes over with Tom Brady? Hey, dude, I could have stayed where I was. I was totally happy. I could have retired. I'm rich beyond all belief. But I want to give this a shot. I wanted to try and have a meeting of the minds. And so far, it hasn't been great. You know, the last person I need to be pointing that out is you, the guy who I turned down everything for. you. The Cowboys had a huge win to get back in the playoff contention. Is that a bad thing? I'll tell you upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I look at this thing and I look at the NFC East. And so tomorrow we're not having three games. Like, what? Yeah, the game you're looking forward to is postponed. The Ravens and the Steelers are going to play Sunday in the early window. So the second game, first game's Detroit, Houston. At least you get Deshaun Watson, right? Deshaun Watson, Captain America, J.J. Watt, Texans or whatever, Detroit's whatever. Detroit's always on Thanksgiving. But at least this time, you don't have to feel bad for the fans in the stands are forced to choose to like go and watch the Lions on Thanksgiving. Now, there's no fans there. The Cowboys are going to take on the Washington football team. They're right behind the Eagles, who are 3-6-1. Cowboys are 3-7. Currently, the Cowboys will be drafting fourth overall and out of the playoffs, while the Eagles will be drafting 19th overall and in the playoffs. I guess the question is, you're the Cowboys. Do you really want to contend in the NFC East? Because you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have Dak, and you're not going to have your offensive linemen. Like, you're not going to be much better. But you do have some good skill position players, and you could have Andy Dalton, and, you know, I don't know. Music, what do you think? What would you do if you're Dallas? And the idea of tanking, we talked about this with Dan and Jeremiah. It's not that hard. You know, you think about it.
Yeah, I think the issue you have if you're Dallas is, so a coach like Bill Belichick has clearly built up more than enough equity to sort of find themselves in a position to where it's like, hey, look, if we lose games this year, it's not the end of the world. It was so bad, even with Dak Prescott to start the season for Mike McCarthy, that he was already under a ton of scrutiny. Then people have sort of given him a pass for the games that he's lost once Dak Prescott got hurt. And then they sort of come out and, I guess you could say, even though Minnesota's not an awesome team, somewhat shocked the world with the win that they got over the Vikings. And so if you're Mike McCarthy, I'm sure you're not in a position where you're like, hey, you know, let's just dump games. Jerry Jones has never been that type of owner. But when the draft position could be so drastic in terms of top five versus almost in the 20s just by virtue of making the playoffs, it doesn't seem very close in terms of if you can get Dak Prescott back and you feel good about where he is going forward and you can be picking at the top of each round as opposed to the end of each round, it could be the type of thing where you go from a four-win team to back to, you know, seriously contending for a Super Bowl, depending on the players you're able to get in the draft.
Yes. I mean, look, I generally tend to agree. I don't think that any of these teams are winning a playoff game.
It's almost similar to like what happened with the Warriors. Now, I'm not saying Dak Prescott is like a Steph Curry, but like the only reason the Warriors were so awful last year to be picking that high in the draft is because of injuries. And that's basically where the Cowboys are at. Like, if Dak was healthy, they wouldn't be this bad. But if you could somehow use that to your benefit by getting a higher draft pick because of it, I don't see why not when it can help you get back into contention that quickly.
Well, look, they're going to beat the Washington football team, right? Like, I don't think there's...
It's a three-point line, Cowboys at home. So according to Vegas, they are neck and neck. And I agree with you.
Yes, but there's not the three-point spread is different than the three-point spread traditionally with home field advantage. I think it's like a point and a half. I get what you're saying. I mean, look, I understand the whole thing. I mean, everybody wants their team to tank until you're like, well, would you rather make the playoffs and, you know, give yourself a chance? I just don't think they have any chance, so I would say tank. I would. I would say tank. So, because neither team has a chance, and it's not like you're winning the gate. It's not like you're like, well, we get one more home game, so we make a couple million dollars every home game. You're not going to have people in the stands. I know they had like 37,000 people in the stands in one of their games. I don't know if they're still allowed to do that.
Yeah, Jerry Jones has been very vocal about them setting records for number of fans.
For COVID attendance?
Yes, yeah.
We got the best COVID attendance in the league. I didn't know. I don't know if there's an award for that. I mean, the problem is that if you're Mike McCarthy, you have to all be on board for it because Mike McCarthy's trying to win games. You know, he didn't go Gallagher and smash all those watermelons so that they could tank. So I think they're going to go for it, but no one wants to tell a first-year head coach, hey, dude, you got to lose some of these games. He's trying to change the culture and the mindset there. So, yeah, I think they go for it, even though they probably shouldn't. That would be my guess. Should they? You should. Of course you should tank. Cowboys aren't that good. And the point you make, which is the best one, is it's not just about the first round. You're drafting the top of the second round and the third round and the fourth round. And you can get a lot better players than you can at the end of those same rounds.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's get you to Brian Billick, who joins us. He's an NFL Network analyst, of course, Super Bowl champion head coach, an outstanding offensive coordinator before that. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Billick. And a reminder, a special Thanksgiving edition of NFL Game Day Morning airs tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, on the NFL Network. I'm guessing the rundown has changed since there's no Steelers-Ravens. What's your reaction to the NFL deciding to move the game after the Ravens have a little bit of an outbreak on their team?
Yeah, it's good that they had that kind of latitude. Because obviously we're getting late enough in the season that you're not going to be able to postpone it beyond this. And it's a big game. So, yeah, it's great that they're able to do that. I'm assuming it's so they can get a few more tests to see, make sure that they've got enough positives or false positives or whatever it is that they need to allow the players to go forward. Obviously, it's a big game. And the coaches at this point, I mean, they were supposed to be on a plane today. So, you know, obviously they're going to have to adjust, but that's what this season's been about.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Brian Billick. Let's start with the Ravens. Obviously, you lose Ronnie Stanley, that's going to change you, right? There's a reason they gave him that contract as a starting left tackle. You have a retirement in your offensive line, so your offensive line is going to change. Now you have COVID concerns in your backfield, but when you see that offense and you know some of the critique of it, some of it from Lamar Jackson, some of it from those of us kind of parroting and watching, what do you see with the Ravens offense and some of their issues? And they're still scoring, but at 4 points less a game than last year.
Yeah, and particularly with the Steelers. Clearly, it's Lamar Jackson, his ability to kind of crack the code with a very good Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I did a bit on it on TA Total Access last night on the network, where you can see he's in the two games that he's played, substantive games, last game of the season last year, none of the starters played. Lamar didn't play. In the first game last year, Ben Roethlisberger didn't play. But in the last two games, the early, you know, I think it was the eighth week of the season last year, and then obviously this week, he's had five interceptions. And when you look at the interceptions, you can see he's not sure about what he's seeing. His first interception, they bought Dupree and Watt, or I should say they walked Williams up into the gap. They dropped Dupree to the weak side. And you can see Lamar Jackson is looking at that weak side going, okay, there's too many folks over here. So he just tries to drop it off to the strong side. Well, Splane was there. Interception, pick six. The next one, they bring Dupree and Watt to the same side. They bring pressure. So he's going to go to the other side. Well, he doesn't see Highsmith dropping underneath in a classic Steeler zone pressure, playing pressure. It was only a four-man pressure, but it looked like four, then five, and then a guy dropped out, and it's like he didn't see it there. So clearly Lamar Jackson has to get comfortable with what he's seeing with a very complex defense that primarily plays zone behind these pressure packages, and right now he's struggling with it, and that's going to be a key this weekend. If he can crack that code, not throw into coverage, and, of course, the running game cranked up, then they got a chance, obviously, in what is a great rivalry. But Lamar Jackson right now is confused by what he's seeing in the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Okay, so he's confused by it, but there's also, at times, a lack of accuracy. Like, you've been doing this a long time, right? A long time, and you've worked with all different sorts of quarterbacks. Can he evolve? Can it be fixed in terms of the accuracy as well as the reading of defenses?
Sure it can. Now, what I don't know. That interception to open the half last game was beyond the fact that he was trying to drop it in behind a retreating defender, and again, the coverage kind of confused him a little bit. He was not under pressure, yet he was throwing off a back pedal. It was like a fall-away jumper, and that's really what has to happen. He has to get more solidified with his footwork. You know, accuracy comes just like in golf, just like in tennis. Accuracy comes from the follow through, and when he doesn't have that follow through, and he's got a great arm, he's a great athlete, and can throw out of any platform. But when he doesn't have that follow through, then that's what happens with the accuracy. So he's got to get comfortable with moving around the pocket so that he can get that follow through, not just buying extra time. That's what you see when you see, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or the great quarterbacks that buy that extra time, it's so they can have the follow through and a better throw.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Brian Billick, who, of course, was an outstanding head coach, won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. Let's get to the Steelers defense. You've seen it for years, right? And the Ravens and Steelers have always had a great defense. Is this defense different or the same? Like, when you see it from your eye, which is so much more proficient than anyone else, what do you see?
This is maybe the best manned Steeler defense I've seen in a long time.
Wow. They're usually a zone team, right?
Yes, they are. But when I say manned,
in terms of the personnel?
They got personnel. I mean, the fact that even with a four-man rush, they can bring Dupree and Watt from the outside. What they're able to do in the back end. And again, they're doing the same thing the Steelers have been doing for a long, long time in terms of bringing the pressures, the unique pressures, typically with a four, sometimes five-man rush, the patented Blitzberg slot blitzes, and then paying zone in behind it. And it takes a very trained eye to deal with that. And they're doing it with really good personnel. So this is probably as good a Steeler defense as I've seen in a long time.
Brian Billick, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Guys, do we have what Bruce Arians said going back to yesterday? Bruce Arians, and he kind of reiterated today and what he said on Sunday. The head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, after they lost on Monday Night Football to the Rams, Coach Billick was talking about Tom Brady, and he had some interesting things to say in regards to the deep balls down the field. Take a listen.
Other than the deep ball, I think he's getting confused a few times with coverage. That might be causing some inaccurate balls, but I don't see it at all in practice. We're not missing the deep ball in practice, that's for sure. So it's just a matter on Sundays hitting them.
What's your reaction to that quote?
It doesn't add up. Tom Brady confused. I mean, what on a football field has Tom Brady not seen?
Right.
I mean, that's always been the strength, his decision-making, because it's, I know what you're doing here. And he comes into a game, and they're doing something different than he saw in film. And that's always been the strength. He could go out to the sideline, look at Bill Belichick, and say, remember what the Ravens did to us 15 years ago when they did so-and-so, and they walked up in the week A gap, and they brought the safety. Okay, we did this. And there's always been that adjustment. Again, what on a football field has Tom Brady not seen? To think that Tom Brady's confused, that's hard for me to see. Now, the deep ball has nothing to do with arm strength. People are saying, well, he doesn't have the arm strength anymore. The deep ball never has been about arm strength. It's about touch and timing. And Tom Brady has touch and timing, and he has guys to go to. So, you know, this is a tough one, you know, in terms of explaining. I'm going to be the last person to say Tom Brady's done, okay? But at some point, I mean, the guy's what, 62, 63 years old, something like that? I mean, at some point, physically, and this is where Tom is the only one that can really weigh in on it. At some point, physically, it's just not what you need to get the job done is not going to be there. Now, is he there now? Is he getting there, particularly in the latter part of the season? I have no idea. But, and for him, he's never been 43 and played quarterback before. So even this is new territory for even him in terms of how the ball comes out and where he's going with it, how he's seeing the field. So, yeah, is he at that point? Who knows? Like I said, I'm not going to be the one to say Tom Brady has reached that point. But in particularly against good defenses at critical times, right now they're not being able to finish off. Now, it's a new semi-new system. He's got new people around him. But we're at the point in the season where I don't know that we can use that as a justification anymore.
I guess the question, though, is a couple things. One, if you're the coach, and I understand that Bruce has always been an honest salesman, but, like, do you have to say that publicly? Right? And then, too.
Well, you want to challenge, because Coach always, and Belichick did, just because the quarterback, and he knows that, it's good for you.
But he didn't do it. I don't remember Belichick doing it publicly. I know he challenged him, but I don't remember.
No, absolutely. And part of it, now keep in mind, now these are prideful guys, and Brady's got to be sitting there going, okay, Arians, let's see, you don't have a Super Bowl, and Brian Roy, okay, you don't have a Super Bowl, and I got six of them. Okay, so if somebody screwed up here, yeah, chances are it's not going to be me.
Right.
Now they're never going to, and Brady's never going to articulate that. You're right. The fact that it's, you know, I think Arians is trying to publicly show, yes, we're going to hold Brady to a standard. He embraces that. But I think, that's not how it was done, and it was always going to be in-house. And Brady's the same way. You know, now is Brady going to come out going, well, you know what, some of the things we're doing aren't real sound. So we got to clean that up a little bit. I mean, that would be the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get to the Green Bay Packers. Obviously not Aaron Rodgers' fault that Marcus Valdez-Scantling fumbles the football. And they did hop out to a lead. And I thought Phillip Rivers dialed back the clock a little bit and played really well. But the reputation that they have in the league is, hey, push comes to shove, it's just too soft. If you are a team that can be physical and run the football, they'll crumple like they did against the Niners last year in the playoffs. Are they too soft against the run, against the power running team, to win in the playoffs?
They've got to be better against the run. There's no question about it, particularly if they're going to get through and make a run to the Super Bowl. They've got to be sounder in run defense. Now, let's give Indianapolis credit. You know, their formula is clear cut. If you keep Phillip Rivers, if he's under 40 throws, and you can run for more than 100 yards, that's a good combination for them with that defense. When they don't, then it doesn't typically go well. But they had that the other night. But almost not. I mean, this looked like almost a patented Aaron Rodgers come from behind. And you're right. It's not like he fumbled the ball. So I don't know. I think you got to give Indianapolis credit. The fact that Green Bay put themselves in that situation. I mean, what do we always say when there's a play like that? It's not his fault. It never comes down to one play. We shouldn't have put him in that position. It's the cliche things to say. But you're right. And their inability to stop the run is it cost them in that game. And it's going to cost them ultimately unless they can shore up that run defense.
Excellent stuff. Coach, have a happy Thanksgiving. I know it's going to be full of work for you guys over at the NFL Network. Wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving over there from us. And appreciate you spending some time with us on Fox Sports Radio.
No problem. You as well.
All right. That's the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. And Brian Billick with some really interesting, honest perspective as a guy who's been at the dais for all of those press conferences with quarterbacks that are doing well and quarterbacks that are doing poorly. Speaking of quarterbacks, quarterback carousel for one NFL team. Get to that next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The Press.
What do you have there, Steve Sager?
Sunday night's NFL game due to be Bears at Packers. Quarterback Nick Foles did not take part in practice today with the hip injury, but Mitchell Trubisky was a full participant. And we'll have two NFL games tomorrow, including Washington at Dallas for the Cowboys. Kicker Greg Zuerlein has a back injury that's limited him this week. He is listed as questionable, but Ezekiel Elliott was a full participant all week. Again, we're down to one college game tomorrow and two NFL games tomorrow. No night game of Ravens at Pittsburgh. That's this coming Sunday afternoon now. And a statement from USC after their announcement yesterday, a statement today that the Trojan football team has been cleared to resume practice today in preparation for a Saturday home game against Colorado. The status of that game is unchanged at this time, but they do say a single USC football player had tested positive. So now, even though he has symptoms and he's in isolation, there's an additional USC player that's tested positive. Five others are quarantined through contact tracing. But as of now, USC Colorado is still a go. Meanwhile, it's going to be Kentucky and Florida, top 10 team. And Kentucky's coach Mark Stoops says his club is currently without 18 players and 10 staff members due to COVID. And an update from the Big Ten, as Minnesota is one of the teams that's been hit, and they have a star wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, who's opting back out, quote, moving on to the next stage of his career, preparing for the draft due to the recent COVID outbreak and the Gophers having to cancel next weekend's game. He's opting out, a guy that had opted back in and did wind up playing the start of the season after, as the Athletic points out, after having had a bad bout with COVID over the summer. This guy, junior wide receiver Rashad Bateman, last year as a sophomore, had 60 catches, over 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. He had already had 6 TDs today. And did you see the headline about the Vanderbilt kicking situation and what's possible for this weekend? They could have their women's soccer starting goalie as their kicker on the sidelines for Vanderbilt this weekend.
No.
Sarah Fuller, because yesterday she did practice with the Vandy men's football team because many of their specialists were quarantined due to COVID protocols. And the head coach at Vanderbilt, Derek Mason, said in a local radio interview, she's got a strong leg. We'll see what that yields, but Sarah is an option. Vanderbilt's 0-7 this year and apparently just 3-for-7 on field goals this season.
Why not, right?
Yeah, why not at 0-7 also? And how about this headline from longtime baseball writer Barry Bloom in Yahoo Sports Today? Angels lock in Anaheim as owner Artie Moreno pledges $320 million for a ballpark village. There's a deal that's expected to close after all the technical procedures are fulfilled sometime next year. But he says, first, we need to improve the team on the field. But second, get the existing facility in Anaheim up to date and make sure that when fans come back, they're in a fun and safe place. Priority number three, the long-term Angels plan and what projects are we going to take on from a development side. So what they're planning on doing is, A, have the Angels commit to the city. We will stay at this site playing baseball for at least 30 years, and there are a bunch of five-year extensions that could be tacked on to that. The Angels could be at the same site through 2075. But also, and this has been a city stadium over past decades, it'll be the Angels' place, and the Angels will be constructing around the parking lot, around the stadium, eventually over the years, 5,000 apartments is the plan.
Yeah.
Office space, retail space, restaurant, almost 1,000 hotel rooms, and a recreational park.
Yeah, so when are they going to do the stadium? The stadium's one of the oldest in baseball.
They still haven't said whether they're going to redo or rebuild entirely the stadium.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't just build a new stadium, then tear down that stadium, then build the village there.
They redid the stadium, remember, in the mid-90s.
It's one of the oldest, outside of the really old ones, the Wrigley's, which, of course, has recently been redone. Like, I actually think, if you look at renovations, even in renovations, it's like the oldest in the league.
Yeah, it's like a 55-year-old park. They didn't.
No, but even the renovations. Like, go
mid-90s.
Through, like, yeah, because Wrigley was just redone a couple years ago. Fenway's been redone several times here in the last 20 years.
Dodger Stadium's been
redone, right? That building is, it's already old in terms of infrastructure from when it was built, and then it was redone like 25 years ago. Look around baseball, all those stadiums are actually newer. They have to get a new building, and then, in order to get the revenue, that's what they got to do.
Redone after the Rams moved out of Anaheim in the mid-90s. And we have a retirement from a veteran defenseman of the NHL, the Islanders' Johnny Boychuk, who won a Stanley Cup about a decade ago with Boston. He's had to retire due to an eye injury suffered this past season when his right eyelid was cut by the skate of an opponent. He had not only required stitches, but plastic surgery. And now at the age of 36, Johnny Boychuk retiring. And this story from
that sounds really painful.
That is very painful. And it's like the Clint Malarchuk thing years ago. When you guys are playing on ice, they fall down and sharp skates are up. Not good. From soccer in Australia, this story, a goalie had to race from his own wedding to a semifinal match later in the day. And his bride, in the wedding gown, was there in the stadium watching the semifinal. Apparently, she's a goalie on the women's team in the town. This game outside Brisbane. And now the guy's getting ready for the final because I guess they won 4-1. Apparently, this was highly covered on Australian broadcasting this past week. And I did notice about Mike Lennon. We mentioned much earlier in the show that the tall quarterback is going to be starting for the Jaguars Sunday against the Browns. There was a quote our beloved producer found from ESPN that Glennon at 6'7" said, "Have you ever seen the movie White Men Can't Jump?" Referring to himself, that he was an average high school basketball player, but he will be a starting quarterback and doesn't know when he's going to get a chance to start again. So he says he's going to go for it. Rookie Jake Luton has been benched. Jacksonville's 1-9. Of course, they're going up against the Browns, who now have closed their facility, but Cleveland does have defensive end Olivier Vernon. He was named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And as far as accolades, we do have the update on the Pro Bowl.
I mean, like, look, I think it's super interesting, the Glennon thing. Mike Glennon is forever the trivia answer to who replaced Russell Wilson at NC State.
Oh.
And people forget. Russell Wilson was a 3-year starter there.
Before Wisconsin,
And his head coach at NC State said, look, if you want to be a starter as a senior, you can't go doing spring baseball and missing summer for baseball.
Whoops.
And he said, deuces. And he went to Wisconsin where they changed the offense. Yeah. He had unbelievable. He had three first, Monty Ball. I mean, he had unbelievable backfield, just team at Wisconsin. They won the Rose Bowl. And Mike Glennon replaced him in NC State and broke any record that he had.
And so,
Still never had the success that they had.
No, certainly not. Jaguars, Cleveland this weekend, and Jacksonville's going to be without three defensive coaches due to COVID protocols. And the update on the vote getting by position is out for the Pro Bowl at quarterback, Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, at running back, Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry so far, and at wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs of Buffalo, the top vote getter in the AFC so far.
Yeah, I can't get into the Pro Bowl. I mean, they're not even going to have the Pro Bowl this year.
They're
right?
Not getting into the Pro Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. You know who's not getting into the Pro Bowl? Guys who make the Pro Bowl. That's the press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Hey, download my All Ball podcast. It's Ron Baker, star at Wichita State, playing the NBA, second round draft pick of the New York Knicks. He talks about his travels. He talks about his upbringing. He talks about the need for role models. And he also tells his side of whether or not there was abuse with Greg Marshall and the players when he was at Wichita State. I thought it was really open and honest, and I felt like I learned a lot about something I didn't know. All Ball is the podcast. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'm on Dan Patrick, Doug Gottlieb Show.